And may he continue to use you to impact many lives. And I'm blessed to know you. So thank you. And come and share whatever the Lord has put on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. What an honor to be here. What an honor to be in your presence, precious people of God. Through this week, I started to know some of you. And thank you for having me. Thank you for listening to me. And I hope that what the Lord is releasing through me, you know, that will bless you. And I just wanted to say thank you to Hans and Janet, is that right? So I just want to make sure I got the names right. Sometimes I get anxious when I mention the names. Oh, my goodness. You know, you had me once here before. I brought in the kingdom, and I wasn't sure if you're going to invite me again, you know, but you did. Hans said to me, things are really changed since you came last time. Bless you guys. You know, I love the kingdom so much, and I can't help it, but I bring it in, and sometimes, you know, people don't know the kingdom. They don't know the kingdom, and it's a little bit scary for them, and anyhow. So just thank you for having me and having me again, you know, and my heart is that you would be blessed this morning and that you would be on a higher level. And thank you, Paul, and I just love you. I just want to say that to you. And why do I love you? Because you have such a deep love for the Holy Spirit. When I came here last time, you can just sense, you know, you just sense. And the stuff that he wrote, you know, I read some of his stuff that he writes, and the revelation that you walk in, you know, is only from the Spirit of God. I can tell you that, you know. You just know when it's man's wisdom, and you just know when a man is releasing God's wisdom. And I said that yesterday, and I'm going to say that again. Thank you for keeping open this well, you know, in Saskatchewan. Thank you for keeping this well open. You'll see that David drank from a well. I believe that was in Bethlehem, and he desired the taste of that water from that well. And the enemy was all around that well, and David's brave men broke through to... They were so loyal to him. They were so loyal to him, the brave men of David, that they would risk their lives to break through the enemy ranks to get that water for David, just to bring it to David. And I just feel that's what you guys are doing here, just because you're loving the Holy Spirit so much. You love the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're keeping the well open, so people will come in and they will taste the Holy Spirit here, and they may go away, and they, you know, a month or 2 months, and then they, oh, you know what, that church, that family church in Maple Creek, it's like the well of David. It's like we need to go and just taste the presence of God. Let's just go back 2, 3, 4 months. I haven't been there, but I'm coming back because they're keeping that well open. Now, one thing about wells, the enemy, we have to look in the Bible. Can we have our first scripture up there, first Jeremiah 1, verse 12? Is that okay? And so we need to, for us to see what God's doing, we constantly have to look into the Bible. We constantly have to look in the Bible to understand what is the things that's happening around us, what is the things happening in our life. And you'll see that, you know, Jeremiah ministers to us and say, you know, the prophet Jeremiah ministers to us through the word, says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. So you can see that when we look into the word, we see that the enemy loves to plug up wells, loves to plug up wells, throw stones in a well, plug it up. That's what the enemy does, you know. So, of course, the enemy would just love to cause division here, love to plug up the well, love to split up the brothers. So we have to, what Jeremiah says, Jeremiah is saying, you know, God is ready to act upon his word. God is ready to act upon his word. And how do we know that? Well, that's what Jeremiah says. He's, you know, the Lord said, you've seen well, where do I see? I see in the Bible. I love the Old Testament because the Old Testament just reveals for me what the enemy is always up to, you know, or what God is up to, how God deals with people, you know. So how do I see in the how do I see what God's doing at the moment? Well, God's opened a well here, guys. You are it. You're the well keepers. You're the well keepers. You have to unite in family. You know, you have to love what unites us. Love for the Holy Ghost. Love for the Holy Spirit. I love the word Holy Ghost. It just, you know, it just challenges you a little bit. Is it now Holy Ghost? Or is it Holy, is it, you know, is it disrespectful or is it not disrespectful, you know? but it is the Holy Spirit that keeps us together. You know, we can have all kinds of divisions and opinions and blah, blah, blah. Stay away from that. It's just going to divide you. And then people's going to come past you and mess up your well. Because you're standing there and reasoning about things, you know. And then the enemy just walks past you and mess up your well. And you're like in opinions and stuff. No. No, how do we keep the well secured? How do we keep the well going? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. That's it. You know, stay away from the other yab, 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 this opinion, that opinion. It's Holy Spirit for you. If it's Holy Spirit for you and everything about the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, then this well will be open and protected. Okay, you're with me? You're on the same page? You're in the same family? I see you're a family church. That means we have to agree about things. And sometimes, you know how families go, you don't agree about things. You know what I'm saying? But anyhow. So unity is very important. Can we have Psalms 133. So we have to have unity in the family. Can I have my bottle of water there if you guys think so? What's that? Oh, there's one right here. I'm sorry. I appreciate that. So here it goes. This is unity, okay? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Okay, in unity, and it's like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron. Who was Aaron? He was the high priest. Who's our high priest? Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, the high. So it's running down the edge of his garments, and you know, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. So the Lord has commanded life for you. Done. The Father has said, I want my children to love. To love. And I want them to live. So the Father commanded life for you. So every angel, everything, you know, is up there. Is now, okay, the Father is one, he wants life for them. So guys, we got our job cut out for us. So the angels around here help protect, you know, because the Father commanded. But what is keeping the well? What is the keeping the well here open? And it's unity. See that? For brethren to dwell in, so when we dwell in unity, what do we get? We get the oil of the high priest. Remember, Moses poured out the oil upon Aaron, and he became the high priest. So we get the oil, we get the anointing, we get the empowerment. Because why? We're in unity. What keeps us in unity? The Holy Spirit. Thank you for opening that up. How are you guys feeling? Blessed? Man, love to see you. Love to be here. It's quite a drive, I must say. All the way from Sylvan Lake. And the Lord's just been great and blessed us. I just want to honor Neelan, Dr. Nehru, sitting there at the back. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have known you guys by now. And I don't think I would have known Hans. And I met Neelan. We were in a conference praying for people. And so he came up for prayer, and that's how we met. And him, we're brothers in the sense of coming from South Africa. He's just coming from the East Coast. He's just so spoiled. He comes from Durban, where the beaches are, oh my goodness, warm water, the best curry in the world. I don't know if you guys know curry. South Africa, we have amazing food in South Africa. I don't know if you guys love food. I love food. We have such a blend of flavors. And I grew up with curry. My mom, curry and rice. And so he's got the best curry out there. I know not every people is into curry, but Just love it. And I just want to honor you, Neelan, for he's been persistent, you know. Paul, he phoned me. He says, "You got to come out." I said, "Neelan," you know. And so I met him in the conferences in Red Deer. And the Lord touched him, the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit touched him. And then since then, he's just, "You got to come out." And I'm like, "Okay, Neelan, I give up. I'll come out this way." And so I just want to bless him, you know. When Joseph, remember Joseph, when he was in the dungeons, Joseph had this gift of, analyzing dreams. And he analyzed two people's dream in the dungeon. One is the butler and one is the baker. And you guys know that the baker, it didn't turn out well for him. Pharaoh took him out. He was basically killed. And one day when Pharaoh had two dreams, then suddenly the butler remembered, you know, oh yeah, there was a guy, Joseph, in the dungeon, you know. And by the way, he had that gift, and then, you know, suddenly Joseph was promoted, you know. So I just want to make sure, sometimes we grow, the Lord opened doors for us in ministry, and then you forget the brothers that played a role in lifting you up, and you know, so I just want to make sure, Neelan, that I don't forget you, and I want to just bless you, and thank you for being so persistent. Yeah, he was on the phone. "Oh, you got to come out to Medicine Hat. You're going to come, you know." And I'm so glad he's persistent. I just want to honor you, Neelan. And, you know, you can teach people faith. You can preach to them. But hunger is, I would say, a bigger blessing than faith. I'm going to say that again. Because hunger is something that I'm not sure if we can impart in a person. I'm not sure if we can teach hunger for the Lord. I don't think it's tough for us to even minister that. I think we can minister the word and we can teach people and show them things. But hunger for the Lord is something unique. And Neelan walks in such a deep hunger for the things of God. And that's why, you know, we all get blessed through people. Listen, I know a whole bunch of people that has just that extreme hunger for God. And it's through that hunger that we all get so blessed. So blessed. Then I just want to honor my group that's here with me. We had a wonderful time up to now. And still going to have, and they're just so supportive. Just for you that don't know us, we're from Sylvan Lake. We pray every Thursday night for people. We pray for people. We've seen that there's an open door there. People need prayer. And one of our things that we do, we have a prayer line. We let people come to the front and pray for them. And we've seen amazing things. We've seen the power of God come upon people. We've seen the power of the Holy Spirit setting people free, jaw-dropping things that we've seen when the power of God hits them, or you know, just do things with them. And so we want to just share a little bit with you about that, and it's a lot of fun. We've been persistent. You have to be there every Thursday night. You can't say you're one night closed or you're not open, you know. You kind of dedicated yourself to be there, you know. And we've realized that a few things about the Holy Spirit. He loves certain music, you know. So we put certain music, oh my goodness, he loves it. So we've learned some things. Because if you pray for people, you need the power of God. You need the Holy Spirit. Listen, there's no way that you can just pray for. You can't do ministry without God. You can't. You cannot. You'll just make something religious. You'll just make something religious and dry. You'll wear yourself out. Don't try ever to do ministry without God. Who is God? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And you need to know him. You need to have him on sight. You need to understand what he likes. And we figured out this, you know, Thursday night we come there. We notice that he just shows up, And so let's just put that verse on. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:13, is it? So So people drive from all over the place. They come from Edmonton. We had people, what's the furthest we had people coming from? We had people out of Vancouver, is that right? Grand Prairie. Grand Prairie. Man, they don't go home till 12 o'clock, and then they still have to drive an hour and a half, and sometimes 2 hours of drive till 12 o'clock. They just stay around, you know, and we don't try to go past 12, you know. So that's what we figured out. That is what the Word says, and you know, the Word cannot lie. The Word, you know, God does not have the ability to lie. He doesn't. He's not like man that has the comfort to lie. He cannot tell lies. He has to be truthful to his word. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we've seen when we come there Thursday nights, he just shows up for the prayer line. He just shows up. And what we figured out is that when we are faithless, when you don't feel, you know, you feel like, oh man, I wasn't holy enough this week and had a bit of argument with my wife, or I wasn't in the Word much this week, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I don't felt the presence of God this much, or I didn't repent too much this week, you know. You can see that God really doesn't depend on your faithfulness. He doesn't. Why? Because he ministers out of his nature. He depends on his faithfulness showing up. So you'll see, he's here already. You'll see that we'll have a bit of a prayer line where, you know, we're going to do that just before you go here. And I just want to see what God does to you. And I sometimes get a chuckle to see what he does with you. You know, that's why I don't burn out in ministry anymore, because I have a little bit of a laugh just to see what he does with you. You know? So even Thursday nights is for me a little bit of a chuckle, because you can sometimes people come here and they just shock. What just happened? You know. See, I'm laughing already. Because you just see the face. Like, what just happened, you know? And, you know, what is this, you know? And so I get my joy. That's why I don't burn out, you know? And listen, trust me, when you walk out in ministry, if you're not careful, you probably got 3-4 years, you'll be burned. Why? Because there's no Holy Spirit. There's no fun. And the Holy Spirit is fun. Don't you just like it when his power touches a person and set them free out of bondage? I love it. And that God is that good to us to give us that, you know, things to do, you know, to be partakers in a ministry that sets people free, that breaks their bondage off. So we'll see that God ministered out of his nature, who he is. You see? So I love this verse. I've quoted this verse once, and I said that yesterday when I was driving, and poof, the presence of God just fell upon me. Just quoting that verse. I said, Lord, when I'm faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Poof, Holy Spirit is right there on me, ready to go, empowered, you know? And that's how God, because it sets me free, guys. Oh, you know who's the biggest slave driver? Yourself. Oh, let's just take care of that little whip. You've not been good enough. Oh, you're just not a good enough dad. You've not been a good, you know, in the ministry. Oh, you're not, you know what I'm saying? That little whip. And I mean, you put that whip away, and then, no, God is saying to you, come on, look at that. He says, faithfulness depends on me, not on you, you know. You do what you can. You know, you do what you can as much as you can. And God will do the rest, you know. So, where do you learn? Okay, let's look at God's nature. Let's go to Exodus 20, verse 2. Exodus 20, verse 2. So Moses went up the mountain, and Moses, you know, discovered the nature of God. I love seeing you guys back there. Just want to say, bless them, Father. Just bless them. Love your smiles and your faces, God. Just bless them. So this is an interesting thing. So when we get people up at the prayer line, when they come to the front, he's still the same God that Moses knew. Still the same thing. What does he do? What does he do? I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. What does the house of bondage mean? It's the house of slavery. Are you caught up in some slavery? I am. I don't know about you. You know, how's your finances going? There's some slavery there. How's your relationships going? Well, it's just some people that like me and don't like me. Are you caught up in some pain or ache or, you know, thoughts that are just beating you down? Like, I'm just not worthy and I'm not just good enough. And, you know, that's bondage. You know, you just, I feel so tired. I've got chronic fatigue. What does that mean? I'm just always tired. You know, I'm not joking to somebody. I'm just saying it's a reality. We all work in that. We all, you know, somebody said and broke your heart. Somebody said you're going to just live up to be nothing one day, you know, and you believe those words, you know, or whatever it was. Somebody molested you when you were a kid. I don't know what your bondage is. Probably you're into alcohol just to calm your nerves. You know, you're self-medicating, you know, or you're just super sexual and you just can't get away from all kinds of sexual stuff. Somewhere you're in a house of bondage. You know, I'm just saying, we all need it. That's what I'm saying. Me included, we all need freedom. And what do we see here? It's the same God. Oh my goodness. So Rudy, you want to tell me that the law of the Holy Spirit is to make me free? Yes. He's got his agenda cut out for himself, the Holy Spirit. Yes. Because why? Jesus says, I want them free. I want them free. I want them free from diseases and illnesses. I want them free. And the Holy Spirit goes like, I got to get going. But I'm looking for a servant. The Holy Spirit's always looking for a servant. Let's go to Judges chapter 2. You guys with me? Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, I think. Let's just go there. Get a paper Bible. Oh man, they're still so good. They're good, paper Bibles. Get them. They're just good, you know. I like them. I still have to put my eyes on them or something like that just to read them these days, but that's 50 and up. So let's go there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. So he's always looking for a servant. The Holy Spirit's looking for a servant. Okay, who's going to bring my people out of bondage? I hope there's some servants around here. Is there some servants around here? People say, Jesus, use me. I'm signing up. Okay, we'll give out the forms pretty soon here. The angel's distributing right now. You're signing up. Lord. So, oh my goodness. It's in the news. Moses is dead. Now he's looking for a new servant. Okay? And I try to be a little bit silly so you can laugh, and then you get a revelation when you laugh. It's important. Otherwise, you're just going to fall asleep, and the message is going to go right over your head. You know what I'm saying? Guys, having some fun? Good time? Okay, so the Lord is looking for somebody, and it's always about his people. It's always about you guys. Look in the whole Bible. It's always about he's sending Moses to get his people out. He's sending the prophets in. It's about setting us free constantly. And we got the best, guys. We didn't get Moses. We didn't get Joshua. We didn't get Elijah. Although I would love to see them. But you got Jesus Christ. You got Jesus Christ. He sends Jesus Christ to bring you out of the house of bondage. But Jesus had a secret. He had a helper. And when Jesus went, he says, I'm leaving that helper for you. John 14, 15 talks about the helper. You and me, we get the helper. We get the helper to bring our fellow brothers and sisters out of bondage. We get spiritual empowerment to do it. And God is looking for a servant. He says, you guys, Moses is dead. And we're looking, yeah, Moses must have been a great guy. Don't you think? Stretch out your hands, the ocean goes open. Brings down plagues. Man, the man had power. Who gave him that power? Of course, the Lord. The Holy Spirit did. When's the last time you sticked out your hand and you got some action? Huh? Not this kind of action. This action, and the ocean opens up. You say, impossible. Well, we'll get there today. I'll mess it a little bit more with your mind. I won't mess with your mind. I'll impart truth into your mind. Is that okay? Okay, should choose my words right. Thanks for helping me. So my servant is dead. I'm looking for a new one. I'm looking at you. That's what God's word is saying. Remember, Jeremiah said, you've seen well. You've seen, I'm ready to act now on my word. Remember, he says that to you. Jeremiah 1 verse 12, remember we went there? Remember? How do you see? You see in the Word. Huh? Moses did. No, I'm looking this way, God. You're not going to use me. I don't want that job. You mean I have to come into the to bleed you people out? God, how do I do that? Well, Moses, in your hand is a stick. Yeah, that's Moses' rod. Well, Moses, it's now the rod of God. The rod got upgraded. The rod. It's now the rod of God. It got upgraded. Guess what? You're getting an upgrade, whether you want it or not. I'm going to tell you how to work. You're getting an upgrade to get the job done, because you can't do it like this. You've got to get an upgrade. If he upgrades the rod, you think he's not going to upgrade you? You're more precious than the rod. Okay, so we're looking in the Word. So your spirit man is suddenly, your spirit man goes, what? Is that my possibilities? Is that? Anyhow. Is it okay if I'm funny or you don't like it? Can we get a vote on that? None. So Moses is Moses is dead and God, listen, can I tell you a little secret? Your father is big enough to do it on his own, okay? But he wants you to know him by serving. Because when you serve, when we stand there Thursday nights and the Holy Spirit and his power do something, we're like, oh my goodness, God, we didn't know you that good. We didn't know you had that much power. Lord, cut back a little bit. That's too much power. No, I'm just joking. We never say that. But it's just jaw-dropping to see that God comes in and he does that. Whop! You know? So, you learn in the job. First day medicine, you know, my pocket was filled with the medical books like this. Because the guy got an ache and I got to pick out a book. 20, 30 years later, there's no books. I've seen this before. Give him a needle. Anyhow, so you learn on the job. It's important for you to be taught by the Holy Spirit. God himself. What is John 6:45 says? Let's go read that. But you got to get on the job site. You can't just sit there behind the books and say, you know, yeah, God is good. And yeah, God is great. And God has said, listen, didn't I call you as a servant? It's time for you to step out and just come and participate in my nature. My nature is I want people free. Okay? So in Manitoba, they say, get with the pierogi. I worked with a lot of Ukrainian people, and you know, they fed me pierogies out there, and they said, "Get with a pierogi." It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. You see that? It's written, and they all shall be taught by God. Who's God? You guys are smart. You got this one. Who's God? The Holy Spirit. Yes. Why did Jesus have to come in the Spirit? Why did he have to come into the Spirit? Because if he stands in the flesh here, church across the street want Jesus, so they're going to grab his arm. We're going to grab his arm, and the pull tug war, you know, who's going to get him in the flesh? And then Winnipeg wants him, and Calgary wants him, and we're going to tear him into pieces here. It will just be blood all over the place. Yeah. Check on Black Friday. You think beautiful people or whatever. You say we won't do it? Mark a TV down to $10. There comes an animal out of people. So we'll tear Jesus into pieces. So now Jesus is coming in the Spirit. And you can take him home. Please take him home today. Like, take the Holy Spirit home today, please. The Comforter. And use him on your family. Get your prayer line there at home and let the God teach you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. You know how I started out? I've learned that some people are super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because you know what happens? You get your prayer line out and you're embarrassed. You go and, I'm not holy enough, because your biggest enemy is yourself. You break yourself down. And you say, Holy Spirit, touch Nothing happens. Let me go home. It's not for me. I'm not called. I don't have the gift. You know? But what I've learned and seen, and you can ask, Oriana and Megan and Phil and Tim, we've learned that some people you can barely look at. Whop! Holy Spirit touches them. And they're super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then you get people that is just not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I find the ones that's not sensitive to the Holy Spirit too much do receive also, but they're more givers. They're more givers. They're more people that minister easily. That's what I've seen. But anyhow, so that built our confidence. We've seen people super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so if you build a fire, let me ask you, if you build a fire, how are you going to start? You're going to start with tiny little pieces of wood. There's a technique how you build a fire too. Little pieces of wood, kindle, is that the word? And then you light it up and then you... We've all been camping. If you're from Canada, all of you have been camping and at least have made a fire. Okay? So you learn that you start sometimes with the spiritual sensitive ones. And then suddenly, as the fire, as the Holy Spirit increase in the prayer line, it spreads on other people, even the ones that, you will not touch me. We had a guy coming in, we had people falling over. Now you have to go through all the reasoning with people. Why does people fall over? Blah, blah, blah. It's the power of God. Can you stand in the presence of God? You know, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, men, trained, muscles, battlemen, wanted to arrest Jesus, and they asked, who's Jesus? And Jesus said, here I am. The minute he says, the Bible says they all fell flat. Poof. Because the Holy Spirit says, you don't touch him. And then he allowed him to touch him. People say, oh, where did they fall? Tell me. Why does people fall of the Holy Spirit? You know, they want to reason everything out. But go look, Jeremiah, what did Jeremiah say? 1 Jeremiah 1:12, can we look at that again? Thank you for being so amazing back there. I'm just amazed. It just made, you know, because I have to go like this every time, and I have to get you guys to do that, and it just saves us time. Then the Lord said, you've seen well, I'm ready to perform my word. So we have to go always back in the word. Why? Because the word is the truth. If we sway from the truth, you're in trouble. You're out there. You're in space. Because only truth that establishes you in this life, and only truth that makes relationships. So there we go. You've seen well. So we've seen, you know, people, the whole bunch of guys that wanted to arrest Jesus. The Holy Spirit just like, poof, you don't touch him. They went down. These were big. I mean, so try to stand in the presence of God. I had a guy coming to healing and deliverance room. You guys remember that? He said, oh, I hear people fall over here. I said, yeah, they do. Well, he wanna come and see that. And so he stood the front. And of course, the Lord loves a challenge. The minute you say something, oh, Lord, you know what? The Lord's like, okay. We got an appointment, you and me, you know. So he comes in, Lord flattens him, you know. And he said afterwards, I thought you guys are hiring actors around here to do this. Anyhow, so God is just amazing. And, you know, we had to make ministry fun because we don't want to burn out, you know. So anyhow, So let's look at the bigger picture. Now, I talked about that yesterday, and Tim said to me, if you keep on talking about a Tesla, you're probably going to get one, you know? And then he says, yeah. So we're going to have to talk a little bit about the bigger picture. Is that okay with you guys? You got ready? You got another 2 hours? Is that what you got? No, we'll shut down here pretty soon because I know you have some other plans. But just bear with me a little bit. Are you guys going to participate a little bit in the prayer line? You guys okay with that? I really want to have a good laugh and just see what God's doing with you. Is that okay? That'll be my reward for coming out. Huh? Is that okay? You're going to be brave enough? You're going to be volunteering a little bit? I just want to see what the Holy Spirit does with you and the power. You know, because what does he do? He brings you out of the house of bondage. Okay? So if you're wondering, what is this all about? What is this all about? It's to bring you out of bondage. That's it. If you say, Rudy, let me understand what the Holy Spirit is doing, please let me understand what the Holy Spirit, he's like when Moses went in to bring Israel out, because Exodus 20 verse 2 says, he's still the God that want to bring you out of bondage. You want to have a revelation what the Holy Spirit is doing? He wants to bring you out of bondage, okay? But he sent you the best. He didn't send you Moses, Elijah, although I would have really like shake hands with Moses. Man, I think you're great, Elijah, you know what I'm saying, and those guys. But we get the best. I mean, Moses would say, man, I would really like to shake Jesus' hand, the fact is here with you. I think he would, you know, although I know he's fallen asleep in the Lord, or, you know, when people die, they fall asleep in the Lord, you know. I'm not sure if Moses fell asleep in the Lord, because we know, anyhow, we were not going to go there. But it's in the Bible. Okay, so let's just see what God did, because he's good and he's amazing. And so God created Adam and Eve, you guys know that. And then that rebellious angel comes and he just takes him out. Takes Adam out. Just one little lie and he takes Adam out. Adam gets kicked out in the garden. God is saying, wait, Adam. Wait, you took Adam out, but I'm going to create another Adam. Okay, so imagine the first Adam was, and you guys had heard this message last night. Just bear with me, because I need to let everybody see the bigger picture of what God's doing. Okay? So the first Adam, Satan's like, let me show you how I deal with this boy. Hey, Adam, yeah? Go eat that fruit. Yeah, and he goes, listen to his wife. Listened to his wife, and he went, Eve, and you know, guys know the story. It's all in the Bible. And it was easy for him. He's like, I didn't even use big powers. You know, Satan's like, I took Adam out. He had dominion on the earth, and it's case is back into me now. Look, I took that Adam out. Just tell him a lie. And there, he's gone. He lost his authority. And God is like, let me bring out my Tesla model. You know, you probably took out the Volkswagen Beetle. You took out the Volkswagen Beetle. But let me show you the upgrade, the new model. Don't you guys like vehicles? Huh? Come on, be honest. No, I'm too, you know. No, do you guys like vehicles? What do you like? What do you like when they bring it out a new one? You like a new cell phone? What are you into? What do you like new? I hope not a new wife or spouse or something. I hope not. We don't upgrade that way, guys. We stand in that one. Okay? We stand. We don't upgrade in that one. Okay? But God wants to upgrade you. He wants to. And so you think you have an agenda. You think, you look at you, man, I got to be a grandma's birthday party, and I gotta take her to the shops, and you know, I gotta take my kids to the dentist, and oh, you think you have an agenda. The Holy Spirit must upgrade you. He must conform you into the image of the new model. But your focus is more, you know, I have to be in Manitoba, and I have to be, you know, getting Christmas presents for next Christmas. But God's got a schedule with you. So you'll see you'll grow faster now, because you'll say, what, Rudy? You mean there's an upgrade? There's a recall on me? You know how they recall vehicles? Huh? Oh, I have to be at family church because there's a prayer line there, and when God gave me a touch, I got to upgrade. Do we have believers here or not? Do we have believers that's in the Word of God and says that's the only truth and God is so amazing that he's just blessing my socks off? Do you have a friend that has so much that he just keep on giving you stuff? Huh? Are you in that position that you have so much that you want to just give people, you just want to give it to people? What do you have? Kindness, love, forgiveness? What do you have? What do you have abundance of? God has so much in the spirit for you to give that, you know. Isn't it amazing that you have friends and the friend just send you something and you're like, what? You just send me? If you have a full revelation what God has given you in the spirit, you'll be just giving you socks off. If you have a revelation of the truth, what he has already given you, you'll start giving your socks off. I'm not saying material stuff, I'm saying spiritual stuff. Because when you come in a line here, I'm giving you what God has given me. In the spirit. Who's in your spirit? Jesus Christ is inside there. Okay, so let's look at the bigger picture here. So the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here is God. He made his Adam, you know, the natural Adam, the Adam that you see here. Okay? The first Adam. And Satan still messes with this Adam. You know, he sometimes makes a beautiful woman walk past you, and that first Adam goes like, what? Just walk there? You know, I'm just being, you know. Or a beautiful red Ferrari drives past, and you're like, what is driving down there? You know, so he still messes with this Adam. And this Adam is gullible. You know that. You know, you can mess with it. You can make a little joke, and then somebody falls for it, and you, oh, it's just joking with you, you know. Anyhow, so Satan just took that first Adam out. Just a little lie took him out. But God's like, I'm bringing out the new model, the new Tesla. And here Jesus walks in Jerusalem, and they're like, look at this new model. He stretches out his hands, he heals. He walks on the water, he calms the water, he calms the storms, he multiplies food. Man, it's like the Tesla. You know, the thing drives by himself. You know, it's got all kinds of music and sounds, and I'm not sure how it's going to do here in the winter, you know, but. And everybody walks past them, and the religious leader says, take this thing out, because it just doesn't, you know, thing, I would say not thing, that's disrespectful, but, you know, take the Lord out. Take, you know, what's this? It doesn't fit our model, and, you know, it's just going to affect my finances, it's going to affect, you know, everything around here. So please, hang him on the cross and kill him. And then they kill him, and then he doesn't die. What kind of upgrade is this? You know, and I have to put the gospel a little bit in a humorous way for you to see. Because now you'll read the word differently. You're like, what? Yeah, I already said that, you know, and I'm upgraded. Oh my goodness, who's upgrading me? Well, the Holy Spirit is. That's why I say he's got his work cut out for him. So in where does it, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, because you need to see it in the word. You're gonna say, man, is he just saying this stuff, or is it really the truth? Is this the truth? Because if it's the truth, then this thing needs to go into the garage. Needs to go for the upgrades. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the question, are you in Christ? That's your choice. I cannot do that for you. Are you in the Word? Are you in Christ? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God's done with the old Adam on the outside. He loves you, and we use the old Adam to eat and to wake up and to go to the house of bondage and work. And, you know, the work is a blessing, guys. It's not a house of bondage, but, you know, I know they call it a job. Anyhow, so inside of you, there's a new creation, but you haven't taken this new creation for a ride yet. It's in the garage, a little bit dusty. You haven't checked it out. You haven't taken it for a spin. It drives by itself, by the way. You'll see when you do the prayer line, you'll see it drives by itself. That's how good your God is. Because the Bible says when you were dead in your sins, he had another plan to raise you up. He upgraded you when you were dead in your sins. Because when God looks at you, you're basically dead because you're in sin. You're not in him. But he had a major upgrading plan for you. And saying, no, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And my spirit's going to become one with your spirit. And Satan, try your luck now. Go see if you can kill him. I'll show you. They can't be killed. They're raised up. You know, you see what he did on the cross. Yeah, mortality is a hindrance for us. You're going to fall asleep in the Lord one day, but you're not dead. He's put life in you. He put the Tesla model in you. And Satan's like, what? That other boy I took out, that other Adam I just messed around, who's this Adam now? That's Jesus Christ in you. Look at that. Can we go one verse back? So see, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus longer. So when I look at you, I look at your spirit. When I minister to your spirit. I minister to the new creation, the Tesla that's standing under the dust in there. It's in the garage. You haven't taken it for a ride. Why? Because that one is there to bless your brother. To bring your brother out of bondage, to set him free with the Spirit in you. Jesus Christ in you. And what you have abundance of and grateful, you're going to give. Man, I have so much. Look, I'll go get some more. You want money? Here's more money. Oh, I have more. Look, here's more. Who gave it to you? Well, God. I'm saying money because for our natural understanding. But what do you give? You give out of the Spirit. You give what God has given you in the Spirit. Man, he's going to give me so much in there, so I'm going to just give you more. But if you don't give, how do you know you have it? How do you know you have it? If you don't pray for people in the prayer line and you don't see what God has given you in the Spirit, how do you know you've received so much? Is this too much for you? Are you guys with me? This bless you? It's going to mess with your mind a little bit, isn't it? You're going to get really into the Word. But I try to make it simplistic for you. Just to see what God has done. So the Holy Spirit's very busy at the moment. He's got a program, man. He's got to upgrade. He's got to show you stuff, what God has put in you. How blessed you are. How rich you are in the Spirit. But it's in the Spirit. It's not in the flesh, guys. Don't look at it in the flesh. Can we go down the next one again? So the new creation, let's go to 517, because you got to see the Tesla. A few years, the Tesla will be outdated, and it will be, I don't know what vehicle, you know what I'm saying? But you get the idea. Some people say, I don't like the Tesla. What are you talking about? Give me, you know. Therefore, from now on, we got no one according to the flesh, yet now no longer. Okay, therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creation. Now, why do you get that new creation? Why do you get it? There's a purpose for that. Well, verse 18 tells us, now all things are of God, who are reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us. We can give it now, and he's actually, you know, remember he said, I said Moses is dead, and he's looking for a servant. He's given us now the ministry of reconciliation, bringing you back to the Father. You got the new Tesla in there to bring people back to the new Father. That's what the purpose of that is, not to keep in the garage. Does this bless you? Okay, I think we're close to done here. I just want to say something further. When I go and stand in the mirror, and it's really a shock every time I stand in the mirror, you know. Especially, you know, I was in this hotel over the weekend. Thank you guys for that. It was amazing. It was great. And they have a little bit of a brighter light in the mirror. And then I stood close and I see, oh my goodness, I got all these new wrinkles. I have to make you laugh, okay? Because you got to get the revelation. So the old Adam you see in the mirror, you stand there and say, oh, yeah, I can see why, you know, the enemy took you out. Because, I mean, I can see you. You know, I can see you. But the new Adam inside of you, how do you see that one? You need a mirror for that one, don't you? How you need a mirror? You know what the mirror is? The prayer line. Because when you stand in somebody in front of them and the Holy Spirit ministers to that one, then you can see what he has put in you. Because that Adam is spiritual. That Adam is spiritual. This one is flesh natural. So you can choose when you wake up, when you open your eyes in the morning, am I going to be spiritual today or am I going to be natural today? The natural one loves the world. He's in the world. He's in the world stuff. Loves it. The one that's inside the new creation, he loves God's word. He loves the Holy Spirit. He loves to bless people. He loves to be in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He loves the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, that one. And then your wife calls, could you please put out the garbage? And immediately you're in the natural one. You see, you have two natures, and you have to decide which one do you want to live in? Which one do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the defeated one that Satan just took out, the natural one? Or do you want to live in the new creation? How do you see the new creation? On the job site. Okay, not at home, feet up in front of the TV. Yeah, the presence of God is great. I understand that. But God has called you. He said, my servant Moses is dead. Who's signing up? Because he wants to do it. Okay, so I'm going to open up the prayer line. I need a mirror to see my spirit man today. Are you going to be that mirror today? Okay, God wants to bless you. So I'm going to open up. Is that Paul? Is that okay? Okay. I did bring some books in a little suitcase here. If you're interested, I wanted to increase the price. My wife said, no, it should be a blessing to them.